This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel, sitting in on this Veterans Day for Maggie, talking a lot about justice in America, things going on in our courts, even as we observe and celebrate the great contributions made by veterans to our lives, our livelihoods. In major part, courts are able to do their jobs, and judges, litigants, defense counsel, prosecutors, civil litigants, witnesses, jurors, staff, all those people are able to do their jobs because of the service of veterans in protection of our basic systems here in the United States of America. A couple more of those things that have happened, even in the wake of the election of Donald Trump just this past week, other things that have been sort of underneath the radar of the major headlines in our major newspapers. Let's talk about two more of them also in courts, also having to do with the administration of justice. The Justice Department itself, late last week, announcing that there was an Iranian murder-for-hire plot to kill Donald Trump. And the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, announcing that a man who said he had been tasked by a government official before this week's election with assassinating Donald Trump, Now charged by the U.S. Department of Justice. Yes, that's right. That is a violation of federal law, a murder-for-hire plan. Investigators apparently had learned about this plot to kill the past and future president while interviewing a fellow named Farhad Shakeri. He's an Afghan national. He identified himself and was speaking to officials, talked about Iranian government assets, and specifically this request, this movement to attempt to assassinate the recently reelected president of the United States of America. He was telling investigators that the contact in Iran's paramilitary revolutionary guard, sometimes called the PRG, had instructed him in September, just this September of this past year, to put together, to try to assemble somehow a plan within 7 days to surveil and then ultimately kill Donald Trump. And all that according to the criminal complaint that was released by the Department of Justice upon announcing these charges, the charges pending in the Southern District of New York, that's Manhattan, of course. Two other men, all the authorities also say they were recruited to participate in other assassinations, are also arrested as a part of this overall initiative. The Attorney General himself says this: there are few actors in the world that pose as grave a threat to the national security of the United States as does Iran. The plot with these charges unsealed just late last week plainly reflects what federal officials have long described. We've seen this before in other cases as these ongoing efforts by Iran and by others in the national, international field to target U.S. government officials, including, but not limited to Donald Trump, on U.S. soil. And that's what this plot was all about. It was plainly stopped. This particular individual, again, charged by a criminal complaint now released by the Department of Justice. Last summer, the Justice Department is a part of that initiative. You may recall also charged a Pakistani man with ties to Iran in a murder-for-hire plot. All of that a part of the commission, the work of the Department of Justice to address these kinds of crimes, whether they apply to the present president, a future president, officials generally, foreign entities attempting to affect the lives and livelihoods of all of us by undertaking horrifically, almost unbelievably, assassination attempts, conspiracies investigated and stopped by an effective international and national investigative team that results in these kinds of prosecutions. Plainly, these particular individuals still in Iran will not be likely be seeing the inside of a federal courtroom anytime soon. But the notion is, of course, once again, you deter not only them, but you send the message. And if you try to do this, general deterrence, that's the principle. If you try to do this, you'll be identified, you'll be found out, you'll be investigated, you'll be apprehended, you'll be charged, and you will perhaps one day be brought into a court. If you are in this country, you'll be arrested on those warrants, brought into court to answer to your crimes. Another federal court. This one also in Manhattan. Some news coming out of this federal court just this past week. A New York federal judge announcing that New York City Mayor Eric Adams is going to go on trial on those corruption charges on April, specifically April 21 of next year. The judge announcing that scheduling just this past week, the U.S. District Court Judge Dale Ho set the date in this hearing of just last week in Manhattan in the federal courthouse there. That was opposed, of course, by Adams' attorneys who wanted some delays there, wanted some further attempts to defend against the case, wanted the trial over the mayor's alleged dealings with the Turkish officials, which, of course, is what this is all about, to be postponed sometime later in the year. You may recall well that federal prosecutors, again, through a grand jury there in Manhattan, have charged the mayor of New York with accepting bribes, including flight upgrades and other things, luxury hotel stays, other things like that, illegal campaign contributions, in exchange for pressuring city officials to allow Turkey, the government of Turkey, representatives, officials of Turkey, to permit them to go ahead with a new 36-story consulate building and have that open, to have that opened despite some significant safety concerns not approved by the inspectors. The mayor allegedly getting involved in that process, getting some perks as a result of pushing the process forward, permitting that consulate to open to the benefit of Turkish officials. The allegations, of course, unproven. And in all of these cases where there are charges and not, finally, an adjudication by a jury, the assumption is, the presumption is in America that a defendant, any defendant, presumed innocent until proven guilty. That attends upon Eric Adams until, if ever, the government proves this case, once again, a federal case to a jury selected, a unanimously returning jury, finding beyond a reasonable doubt that the offense conduct has been committed. That's the only circumstance under which the presumption of innocence will go away. If a jury makes that finding unanimously and does it based upon a finding beyond a reasonable doubt, it's a high standard for a good reason. It applies, again, in that case, in any case in which there have been charges brought by a federal grand jury, state grand juries, state prosecutors, all of them required to meet that high standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So that gets us to the other matters that I promised at the start of our broadcast, and that is an update of the conversation that I had right in this broadcast with Maggie just last Thursday about the status of those four cases pending against Donald Trump, who again is going to be in about 70 days sworn in as the president of the United States of America. We talked about that Georgia case, the fact that is up on appeal. We talked about the fact that the case there coming out of Scott McAfee's courtroom depends upon whether or not the appellate court will keep Fannie Willis in that prosecution status. That's a state case. That's a state case pending there in Fulton County. We also, of course, talked about another federal case to the south, and that is the case in Fort Pierce. That's South Florida. That's a federal case charging Donald Trump with illegally, in violation of federal law, retaining, using, banning about documents, including classified documents, to which he was not entitled, that he should not have. That case against Donald Trump, also up on appeal. That one to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, based upon the decision by the trial judge there. Her name is Eileen Cannon, to dismiss that case outright, based upon her finding unfounded, unprecedented, not supported by the law. But nonetheless, she did this. She dismissed the case. Now that decision pending before the Court of Appeals determined whether or not she was right or wrong. The 11th Circuit has that in front of it. Two other significant things happening just last week. Again, most of them in the wake of the election of Donald Trump, who continues to face these charges, although with the likelihood that at least some of them, if not all of them, will eventually go away. Let's talk, first of all, about what's going to happen tomorrow and then again in 2 weeks in that other state case pending in Manhattan. That's the state case in which a jury, again, unanimously, peers of Donald Trump, brought together way back in May, determined after a lengthy trial covered laboriously with great detail by media throughout the United States of America and beyond, finding in the end that Donald Trump did indeed violate New York state law, not federal law, but New York state law, basically in putting together financial statements and records, misrepresenting in those records the actual purposes of monies that were transferred from him to his attorney, his fixer. His name is Michael Cohen. You may remember that well. Michael Cohen turning around and sending those monies, giving those monies to a woman named Stormy Daniels. Why? To keep her quiet about an affair that allegedly happened between Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels sometime in the past. All of that happening before, immediately before, immediately after, if you will, some portions of it right after the election of 2016 when Donald Trump was first elected president. And the charges in that case, again, premised upon the notion that even that conduct was an attempt to try to deceive the American public. It was an election interference case that resulted in the end with a jury not finding election interference, but finding that Donald Trump had, in fact, violated the criminal law in New York. And in the wake of that, of course, the responsibility of the presiding judge, his name is Juan Merchan, the responsibility of any judge in a federal case is, of course, to conclude the proceedings. Typically, there are post-trial motions, which there have been in this case, motions on behalf of the defense legitimately made, some of them repetitively made, which is not lost on the judge himself, who's commented upon the repeated motions filed by defense counsel to have the case, the jury verdict thrown out. The judge resolving most of those, but not all of those, not all of those. And in particular, even as Judge Juan Merchan has delayed at least twice until November 26th, the actual sentencing of this defendant, which is one of the things a judge has got to do in the wake of a jury verdict. It's always the judge. Some circumstances where a jury may weigh in on a judgment. Most times, most circumstances, a judge presiding over the case, he or she is the one who actually imposes a sentence based upon the finding of the jury. So Judge Juan Merchan has said that on November 26, right before Thanksgiving, he is going to do this. He is going to call upon the president-elect of the United States of America to appear back in his courtroom, Judge Juan Merchan's courtroom there in Manhattan, to be sentenced for those 34 felony violations, the 34 counts that the jury found. And the judge, of course, has many prerogatives. It's exposure of up to 4 years in prison. Donald Trump will not be sentenced to that high level of incarceration, if you will. Judge has many other opportunities, everything from fines to probation, to more limited times of incarceration. That's what the judge will decide, of course, on November 26th. But even before that, the judge has said, I'm going to do something else. He has said that tomorrow, November 12th, mark your calendars, Judge Juan Merchan is going to be issuing his opinion on this pending issue that has in part animated many of these trials, including this one, on whether or not that horrific, that stunning, that catastrophic decision by our Supreme Court on July 1 to find that our Constitution, our laws, our basic principles of the rule of justice and rule of law establish in the presidency immunities, whether that applies to the state case pending there in front of him. The question is whether or not what the Supreme Court said were immunities that apply to a sitting president. The standards in that case, we've talked about a lot on many of the broadcasts here on Civic Media, whether those apply and require the judge either to throw out the verdict or order a new trial, do something else because of the application of that horrific ruling to this state case. Now, the answer should be, and Juan Merchan predictably will reject those arguments, will say, no. This is not a sitting president. This was not a sitting president. This was a private citizen at the time, and the small tendrils that cross over are not sufficient. But we'll hear from him tomorrow. Judge Juan Merchan issuing this opinion on whether or not the Supreme Court case affects that state court case. We'll talk more about that and yet another case in our final segment coming up here on The Maggie Dawn Show.